Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 38. The Reverend Robert Zagore is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. The Apostle Paul continues speaking to the pastors of the Church of Ephesus while at Miletus. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself that it is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you go to Berlin and you go to a museum called the Pergamum Museum, you'll still be able to walk into the very place where Paul had this meeting with the pastors of the Church of Ephesus. It's an incredible thing, especially since you've got to walk through the old anchor gate, which is where Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Nebuchadnezzar all walked through in order to enter the city of Babylon. It's just a remarkable museum. But as you stand there, especially if you're in the office of the Holy Ministry, it strikes you because this is an incredible place. St. Paul came to the pastors who not only were going to have trouble, but were already having trouble. Ephesus would be a tremendously terrible parish experience for everybody. No matter who they were going to have a hard time in Ephesus, and he warned them what was coming. And in fact, if you look at the history of the Church of Ephesus, you find that that's where the Silversmiths Guild tried to have Paul murdered, and one of the citizens of the town rose up and said, "Let's not do this, it's bad for tourism." And then after Paul got done with Ephesus, he sent Timothy in there to be pastor. And you read in the two pastoral epistles that Paul wrote to Timothy, that Timothy was having all sorts of trouble. People were giving him a hard time because he was young. People were giving him a hard time because he drank. People were giving him a hard time because he didn't drink. People were giving him a hard time for just about everything that he did. And Paul warned him, you've got to put on the full armor of God. You're not going to make it on your own. And then, apparently, after Timothy had left, you've got the Apostle John himself who went there until he was taken off and sent to the island of Patmos, and he led the church. But you can see that something happened in the meantime, because in the third letter that he writes, he simply writes to the people of God that he's trying to get back into Ephesus, and the person who's taken charge of Ephesus won't let he or any of the other apostles in. Can you imagine a church so bad that it won't let an apostle visit? There are all sorts of places that are hard service. Paul, as a matter of fact, when he talks to them, says, you're going to be facing, as it's translated here, savage wolves. But the word isn't savage, really, although I wouldn't know how to better translate it with a single word if I were a Bible translator. The word is parais. Parais means powerful, able to overcome people, bearing weight and authority, not only weight and authority because it's a big wolf standing in front of you, but because they can levy all of the forces of society, people, power, and money against you. And you don't have anything to stand on except the Word of God. Parais. It feels that way sometimes with us, doesn't it? As you look out into the world and you see all the things that are being levied against the church, and you say, there's got to be something better that happens. There's got to be something good that can come of this. We've got to have some strong force. But Paul doesn't offer them a way to overcome the world, does he? He simply places them back right in the middle of it, and he says something that I want you to understand absolutely fully. He says that while they are me phytomenoi, absolutely without mercy, I'm sending the merciful ones in there who are going to stand, partithemi, stand with the Word of God and the promise of His grace. When nothing else is an answer, God places His servant there, armed only with His Word of grace, which is alone sufficient. Today, we have the high honor of giving out what specialized pastoral ministry recognizes as the highest award given to its practitioners within Lutheranism. Even the ELCA participates in giving this award. It recognizes a lifetime worth of service where standing in the midst of some of the worst things that you've ever seen, because these are our hospital chaplains, these are our nursing home chaplains, these are our police and fire chaplains. Sometimes with the most difficult circumstances, they don't know what's coming. They go in armed with the Word of God and the promise of His grace. I did some of that when I was in the parish, and some of it before I went into the parish. I was a hospital chaplain during my time in seminary, and I went through CPE training and other things to see if that was the role that I was going to play in life, and I thought that the Lord was going to direct me another way, but there was something that struck me about the difference between calling on somebody as their pastor in the parish and calling on somebody that I had never met before. I had a long experience that I could draw on and say, look, you remember when this happened? You remember when this happened? When you walk in cold into somebody's room, it's really, really difficult to do. I remember several times I walked into a room as the overnight chaplain. They only called me in when things were really problematic because I was there overnight. And they'd say, what are you doing in here? Get out of here. I don't want you here. At first, I went, oh, what did I do? After that, I said, oh, I can go back to my chair and go back to sleep. The first call that I ever got was a doctor telling me that I needed to tell a family that the father and husband in the family was brain dead. He had no brain activity, and that they really needed to take him off of life support. And that now was a time to make peace with God and be ready. And I did. And 6 months later, the man walked out of the hospital on his own. I promised myself I would never, ever have that conversation again, at least not the way that I had had it. But one of the big revelations to me happened when I went down. And there was a young girl who had been brought in St. Joseph Hospital in Fort Wayne. She had been raped. I ministered to her family and to her and found out she had a pastor, brought her pastor in, and I thought that my work was more or less done. Then one of the nurses in the emergency room grabbed me and said, "There's still a bunch of people here who want to talk to you." The doctors and the nurses and the folks who brought them in. You see, RSPM folks sign up for jobs, they don't even know what it's going to mean. And they stand there with the Word of God and the promises of God as those who will deliver it at the times when they're needed most. Sometimes in nursing homes, you get to develop long-time relationships. Sometimes in hospitals, you get to develop long-term relationships. Sometimes as chaplains for fire departments or police departments, you get to develop long-term relationships. That relationship is never about you. It's about what you stand there with in your hands. The word of life, which alone can save them, which alone can make sense in the worst moments that they face, and the worst times that they have. Today, we not only hear again the words that St. Paul speaks when he says, "I stand you together with these things, because these are what you're going to bring against those ravenous wolves, those who rise up even from among you to face down the gospel, to try to quiet the truth, so that they can lead disciples after themselves." We recognize those who have done it. We pray for those who continue to do it. We raise up before the eyes of the church those who are doing it still. I want to conclude with a thank you to somebody who isn't even here. They're in heaven. I was a pastor for 25 years when my stepfather was laying on his deathbed. I witnessed to him to the point that he got sick and tired of hearing from me. Every time I'd start to open my mouth, I wasn't even necessarily talking about that. I could be talking about football, and he'd say, "I don't want to hear it from you." But one day, he was laying on his deathbed, and the chaplain pulled me aside and said, "I think he's ready to talk to you now." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because he told me." The last thing that I said to him was, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And to this day, I give credit to the Holy Spirit and to that chaplain who got through where I couldn't, who stood there with the Word of God and with His grace. And so as we acknowledge and lift up this holy service that the Holy Spirit has given among us, let's rejoice. Day and night, God stands those with the word of His grace and with His love who will meet any trial we face. In Jesus' name, amen. Gentlemen, would you please come forward? Please face the congregation. Let me place upon the Reverend James McDaniel and upon Dr. David Worcester the Christus in Mundo Award for service to our church and to the people of God within this community. As I mentioned before, this is the highest award that our church body, and we even share it among other Lutheran denominations, gives to those in service within our chaplaincy, within our
specialized pastoral ministry. Shall we pray? Gentlemen, turn around and face the altar, please. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for the service of all who stand before you and all of those who preach your word and proclaim your grace. But especially we pray for our SPM men, that their work may be righteous in your sight, may accomplish that for which you sent it, and bring joy and thanksgiving to all of those who hear your word through their mission. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, please return to your seat.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To find out more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.